with her sister and her brother. So we just returned, I guess it was Friday evening. So glad to be here with you today, and it's good to see every one of you. I'd like for you to, first of all, we open the word of prayer. We have some friends that were, probably you've heard in the news about the typhoon there. And we have some friends in Taiwan that they were without their power, I guess over 3 million people without their power, and quite an extensive damage was done by that typhoon. And I think there were 6 or so people that were killed. And that typhoon, I think, is headed on to China. So we need to pray for those people there today. Maybe you have a prayer request that you would, without mentioning it, just like a word of prayer, raise your hand, and we'll remember that in prayer also. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, you know each of our needs here today, and I pray that you'd meet those needs, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever it might be. Father, I pray for those in Taiwan that were hit by that typhoon, many without electricity, some were killed and injured. I pray that you would help those people there. And then as that typhoon heads on into China, we pray your protection upon people there. Lord, I thank you for this day that as we just sang that song, keep trusting in thee. As we trust in you, Father, I pray that you would open our hearts to your word. Take the promise of your spirit to fill your servant and give me the words to say this day. And Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 37, verses 23 to 24. I want us to look at these words together. Read with me if you would, please. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall. Now, make sure I get the right button here. The right button. Okay, there we go. Today I want to speak with you about God's plan and power. Last time I spoke about passion and purpose, that God has a purpose for us, for all those who God created. He has a purpose for our lives. But God also has a plan for each of you. And how can we know God's plan and the power that God has for us? I want to ask you 3 questions today. And the first question is, what is your plan for your life? A lot of people have their own ideas, their own plans for their life. I don't know if you've heard some people talk about their bucket list, things they want to do before their life is over. Maybe that's part of their plan. But God has a plan for your life. What is your plan for life? And then I want you to consider the second question, what is God's plan for your life? And then the third question I want you to consider is, what is God's power to change your life? These 3 questions I want us to consider this morning. I don't know if you've ever seen the program, Let's Make a Deal. You know, they're usually what happens is people come out and they have a choice. You want to choose, the door number 1, door number 2, door number 3, something like that. And so they are 3 doors I want you to look at today. Which door do you choose to take? Now, I think of door number 1 is your plan. All right? This is my plan. All right? Your plan. Now, I don't know, you maybe have heard a song that, what is your plan? You want a plan that's maybe a smooth path? I know when I was young, getting ready to go to college, my plan, I think I shared this with you, was to work in my father's business. And then the door number two, what is God's plan? Now, God's plan may be a path that has ups and downs. It may have twists and turns. And I came to find out that God's plan was for my life was for me to go into my Heavenly Father's business. And I'll talk to you more about that later. God, as it tells us in our verse today, God wants to direct and establish our path. God wants to direct us. And then the third thing is God's plan and power. We read that in our verse today, that His hand is with us. His power is with us. Now, I ran across this illustration. I want you to take a look at this. I guess this is a pointer. Here we go. This is what our plan, we kind of have in our minds, our plan is kind of a smooth path. Leads to the finish line here. We have to have in our mind our plan. Now, I thought this was a pretty good drawing. Here's God's plan. And it often has its ups, it has its downs, it has its barriers, its difficulties, its obstacles. Sometimes we face the storms of life. And this is what God's plan often looks like. All right? You may have in your mind, I want to just take this smooth path. And God never promised us a smooth path, but His plan is the way that we should follow, is the way that we should delight after. And with that plan also comes God's power. Now, this word power occurs 57 times in the New Testament. And it's a Greek word dunamis, which is, we get our English word, dynamite. All right? Now, dynamite shows that God's plan for your life, God wants to show you His plan for your life, but God also wants to give you the dynamite power that can change your life. And we want to take a look at that today. The first thing, your plan. Now, there's a song we're talking about. Maybe you've heard Frank Sinatra sing the song, "I Did It My Way." I did it my way. And many people sing that song, "I Did It My Way." But they find out that my way doesn't bring a lot of peace or happiness. My way, I remember in high school I had one of my classmates. Her plan, she told the whole class, her plan was to be popular. I never heard what happened to her. But that was her plan, to be popular. Some people had the plan to make money, whatever. I did it my way. Now, you may find out that your way, look at these verses here, is not always the best way. Look at Proverbs 12:15. The way of fools seem right to them. All right? Proverbs tells us a contrast between being foolish and being wise. And the way of fools is often, it tells us here, it seems right. People do what they think is right, but it's very foolish what they do. And it leads to a lot of problems. And tells us in Proverbs also 14:12, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. All right? It's like traveling fast down this path, going down that path, not realizing that there's a cliff. You're falling off. The way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction, Proverbs 13:15. And Isaiah 55:8. I want us to read this verse together, if you would, please. Follow with me together. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, from this, you ought to realize, we need to realize that God's ways are higher than our ways. God has a better plan for our life than my way. We ought to realize that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That God loves us and He wants the best for us. And we don't always see that, but God does. Now, I don't know if you've ever taken a look of embroidery. I can't do anything like that, but some beautiful embroidery. And you may look at the underside of that embroidery and think, wow, what a mess that is. But you look at the top side where the embroidery was done, it's a beautiful, whatever it might be, a scenery, whatever. And we may feel sometimes that our life is a mess. And then we realize, we see it from God's perspective, that God has a plan, how beautifully He weaves together the things that happen in our lives. And we need to see it from God's perspective. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways. So door number two, I want you to consider with me God's plan. All right? God's plan, God's will, and God's way. Now you might ask me the question, how can I know God's will for my life? I'm glad you asked that. That's a good question. And I want to point to you four ways that you can know God's will for your life. Now I know this is, as a young person, I was searching for, how can I know God's will for my life? And even as we get older, we need to know God's will for our life. First of all, the Word of God. The Bible is God's handbook for life. Now, you go buy a car. What do you get? The owner's manual. How to take care of the car and so forth. Well, God created us. As our Creator, He's given us the handbook, the owner's manual, to tell us the way that He would have us to take. So we need to look at this verse here, Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Now, whether it be a flashlight, in those days they had what was called a foot lamp, a lamp that they would take with them. And it would only give enough light to take the next step. Even a flashlight, you can't see way down the path, but it gives you enough light to know what the next step. Sometimes we would like to ask God, where am I going to be 10 years from now? Where am I going to be 20 years from now? Whatever. God directs our step by step. Enough light to take the next step. As God shows us in His Word, we need to obey His Word, His commands. Now the first thing we see here is the path of salvation. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Thank God He is patient with us. God is not willing that any perish. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth to die on the cross for our sin. He wants us all to come to repentance. He wants us to take the path of salvation. Not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Jesus said and answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except through me. Jesus showed us the way to salvation, the path to salvation. So God's will, very clear, that we take through Jesus Christ, by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, we take the path to salvation. I thank the Lord, the age of 9, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I put my trust in Him for the forgiveness of my sin. Next thing that God's will clearly spelled out in the Bible is the path of sanctification. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it is God's will. Now, how clearly can you spell that out? Right there. This is God's will for each of us. It is God's will that you should be sanctified and that you should avoid sexual immorality. All right? And what's the word sanctified mean? It means to become holy, to be like God, to be like Jesus Christ, Christ's likeness, and to live pure lives. Simply put, God wants us not only to be saved, but to grow spiritually, to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And as we grow spiritually, we're to live purely. All right? There are all kinds of temptations that we face in this world every day of our lives. I heard it put one time this way. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head. We have all kinds of temptations. But you do not have to let that bird build a nest on your head. All right? We do not have to give in to those temptations. So God's will is we live pure lives, not to give in to those temptations. Notice also this verse here. Rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, how clearly that's spelled out for us. This is God's will. So you ask, what is God's will? Here it is. This is God's will. That we be joyful. That we have an attitude of joyfulness. All right? We have an attitude of praying continually, prayerful. We have an attitude of thankfulness. And these are key attitudes. Being joyful, prayerful, and thankful. This is God's will for each of us. And then as we think about God's will, we can know God's will not only from His Word, but we can know God's will from prayer. Through His Word, God speaks to us. And in prayer, we speak to God. And if you think about this prayer, as we pray for God's will, God, what would you have me to do? Look at this verse here. This is a prayer. You see here in Psalm 143 and verse 10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Praying for God to teach me His will. Praying for His Spirit to lead me. This is a prayer. Praying for God's will. Now, when you think about prayer, what is prayer? Is prayer your steering wheel or spare tire? Have you ever thought about that? Think about this. A steering wheel to drive. Very important to drive. You can't drive without a steering wheel. That gives you direction. So you pray every day, praying continually all the time. Lord, what would you have me to do? Show me your way. Give me your direction. That's the steering wheel. And that's what prayer is. Or is prayer a spare tire? You know what a spare tire is? That's in case of emergency. Get that spare tire out. And I think many Christians think that prayer is like a spare tire. I pray when I get in trouble. When I get an emergency, then I pray. No, prayer is a steering wheel, not a spare tire. Do you understand the difference? So we pray continually for God to lead us. Not only the big things, but the little things. Lord, show me what you'd want me to do. We pray. Prayer is our steering wheel. It's not the spare tire. It's not something we do just because of we're in trouble or an emergency. So prayer shows us the will of God. As we pray for God's will, God leads us and directs us. Another thing God does, He leads us through His Spirit. God's Spirit. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." Now, I believe that that voice is the voice of God's Spirit. Should I turn right? Should I turn left? And I listen with my ears, the voice of God's Spirit. Now, God speaks to me through His Word. That voice is never going to be contrary to His Word. And in prayer, I seek God's will, and I hear the voice of God's Spirit. No, don't do this. Yes, this is the way you should go. God also uses a fourth thing to show us His will, and that would be counselors. Now, look at Proverbs 15:22, and a lot of verses in Proverbs that give us this idea. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Now, it's important that we get the right type of counsel, that we get godly counsel. Our parents understand us. Our parents are good counselors. And especially, thank God, if you have godly Christian parents. Our parents can be good counselors. Also, we have leaders, the church, pastors, and other godly counselors that can help us. All right? It's not just asking the ungodly for their counsel. Although sometimes you may get some good counsel, but be careful with the counsel you seek. So we think about, how can I know God's will? A story is told of a man who was the captain of a ship, and he was bringing his ship into the harbor. And every time he would bring his ship into the harbor at night, he would have to look for the lights. There was one light, like a lighthouse on shore. And then out in the harbor, there were three other lights. And when those four lights came together to make one light, he knew he was headed straight into the harbor. So I think of this, knowing God's will, God's word, prayer, as God gives us peace as we pray about it. And then as we hear the voice of God's Spirit and seek godly counsel, these things come together in agreement to let us know God is making it very clear to us this is the way that we ought to take. It's very important as we seek God's will that we also have the attitude. I remember as a freshman in college, and I was really not sure after I got to college whether it was God's will for me to go to work in my father's business. For the first time in my life, I began to think, I need to really ask for God's will. And as I began to pray about this and seek God's will, these verses in Psalm 23, I found these verses in Psalm 23 that gave me encouragement to follow God's will. In Psalm 23, we read today, first it tells us to trust in the Lord. Trust in God, that He'll make His way known to us. I think one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3. Many of you would know this verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. So, first of all, I knew I needed to trust God. And then secondly, we see in Psalm 37, it tells us here that we're to take delight in the Lord. God, I want to do Your will. That's my delight. That's my desire to do Your will. And so I began to think that I needed trust in God. I needed to make His will my desire. This is what I want to do with all my heart. Whatever you want me to do, Lord. And then the third thing we see in Psalm 37, commit thy way to the Lord. I had to roll my way. I had to commit my way to the Lord. Lord, whatever you would have me to do, I would want to do that. Whatever that might be, commit my way to the Lord. And then Psalm 37, verse 7, I saw this verse, wait patiently for the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm not very patient. Learning patience. But a lot of times we want to know God's will and we want to know it now. You know, we're very impatient. Show me now. But we need to wait on the Lord and wait patiently for Him to make His will known to us. And so these things are our attitudes. And also another important thing here is to test the will of God. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, verses 1 to 2, and I'd like you to read these verses with me, please, together. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I realize that God's will is good for me, it's pleasing, it's perfect. It's the best thing for me. And it's the best thing for you to do God's will. And so I needed to commit my way to Him, and also in doing this, present myself as a living sacrifice. Lord, whatever you'd have me to do, here am I, Lord, send me. Whatever you want me to do. And so as the Lord brought these verses to me, I had a roommate, and my freshman year, he was Jerry Rugg, a good friend. He became like an older brother to me. Well, he had a station in Japan. He was in the Marines. So he'd been stationed in Japan. And so he invited myself, he invited me, and then there were several other guys. That night and evening, they had what they called a group of guys got together and would pray for the missionaries in the Far East. And there were about seven of us over the years that prayed, 4 or 5 years together. And out of the seven of us, God led five of us to the Far East. Two of us ended up going to Taiwan. One went to Japan. One went to Korea. And God led us. But it was a matter of really presenting ourselves and seeking after God's will. And then God leads us as we looked at the ways that God leads us. So God's will, God's way is best. And then I want you to look with me at door number 3. God's power. Not my way, will, or plan for my life, and not my power. I cannot lean upon my own flesh. But God's way, God's will, God's plan, and God's power. I want you to see, first of all, in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection. There again, the word power, dynamite. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He came back to life. He had power over death. And that same power He offers to us, that we can have power. When He calls us to do something, when it's God's will for us to do something, we wonder, how can I do that? Just like Moses, Lord, how can I speak? And God gives us the power. He gives us the ability. He gives us the gift to do that. And we look on here about His power. Look at this. and His incomparability great power. It cannot be compared with any other power. This great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. And in this verse here, I often hold on to this verse. And I hope you take this verse too. Philippians 4:13. If you don't know that verse, I hope you learn this verse by heart. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I remember very clearly, as if it was yesterday, when I was first learning to drive. And I learned to drive a stick shift. Even today I like to drive stick shifts. It's the little car I have out there is a stick. And I was learning to drive, and my father was teaching me how to drive with a stick. And we were driving around, you know, and then we came to the great test. Across the river, you go up the hill. At the top of the hill, there's another highway. And you have to, you know, stop at the top of that hill, look both ways before you can turn. Now, how many of you can know how to drive a stick? Any of you know how to drive a stick? All right. You know what happens. Automatic transmission is great. But a stick shift, you got to work both pedals. You got to work the brakes and the gas. All right? And as I was top of that hill, he was teaching me how to drive a stick. It was kind of like a big vehicle. And what happened is it started to coast down that hill. And I turned to my dad and I said, I can't do this. And my dad, I'll never forget this, he turned to me and said this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I thought about that. Dad, I know that verse, but I can't do this. He repeated the verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. About that time, a car came up behind us. You know, if that was as bad enough a test as it was, now if I backed up any further, I'm going to hit that car. So, I grabbed hold of that steering wheel, and I prayed. Remember, prayer is a steering wheel. I prayed, Lord, help me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let go of the brake, put the gas on, and pulled out. Got up over that top of that hill. Remember that verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that power not only comes from Christ, but that power also comes from His Spirit. The Holy Spirit's power. There's a promise here in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus Christ promised when He left this world, He was going to send His Spirit, and when His Spirit came, He would bring power, the power of God's Spirit. When we don't know what to say to someone else, our friend, our neighbor, God's Holy Spirit takes over and gives us the words to say. He gives us the power. And of course, that power is also God's power. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him. And Romans chapter 8 talks about all the difficulties, the trials, the persecutions, in all these things. We are more than conquerors, above and beyond. It's where we get our word super. Super conquerors. God's power enables us to conquer these things. And then there's the power of God's Word. For the Word of God is alive and active. This Word of God is living, and active is the word dunamis. It's powerful. God's Word has power. So we may think, well, I want to do God's will, but I'm not sure I have the ability to do it. I'm not sure I have the strength to do it. But God promises with His will, His power. And we can take that with us. I like this quote here. Only God can turn a mess into a message. Only God can turn a test into a testimony. Only God can turn a trial into a triumph. Only God can turn a victim into a victory. My wife and I, one of the things we go down to Branson about every year. And our favorite, one of our favorite spots here, of course, you know they have all those theaters, and Branson's called the Sight and Sound Theater. They have two of those, also in Pennsylvania, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania. And we've been to both of those theaters. There they act characters of the Bible. They bring these characters to life on the stage. And this time we saw the story of Jonah. Now Jonah, I mean, they really bring this to life. The whale comes over your head during the... Jonah falls into the... swallowed up by the whale. But I think about this. The story of Jonah. What a mess Jonah made of his life when he tried to run from God. And Jonah, really, his life was a mess. But God turned that mess into a message. As he preached that message that God gave to him, the greatest revival in history, the Assyrians turned to God. God could take the mess of Jonah and turn it into a message. And then one of the other plays we saw was the story of Noah. Noah, God could take a test and turn it into a testimony. Noah had never seen rain before. Noah had he had never been out to the ocean. In the middle of the dry land, God told him to build an ark. I mean, what a test that was, to build an ark. And by faith, Noah built that ark. And that test turned into a testimony. When it started to rain, all the people would run to the ark. But Noah had God told him to shut the door. It was too late. He had preached for years, but they did not believe him. But Noah and his family went into the ark. And it's interesting that the Chinese character for boat is eight or few miles in the ark is a Chinese word for boat. God could take a test and turn it into a testimony. And then we saw the story of Daniel. God could take a trial and turn it into a triumph. You know, there was a decree came out from the king. He could not pray to anyone but to the king. And Daniel continued to open his windows and pray to God. And of course, you know the story. He was thrown into the lion's den. But God took that test of Daniel and turned it into triumph. God shut the mouths of those lions. They could not touch him. And then we saw the play of Joseph. God took a victim, Joseph, sold by his brothers as a slave, a victim. And then the Potiphar's wife accused him of doing wrong, which he did not do. He was a victim, again, put in prison. And God took that, a victim, and made him victory. He became the prime minister of Egypt. Now think about this. Maybe you can think about stories in your own life. You know, I think about a mess. When I first arrived in Taiwan, I was the first week I got there and enrolled in language school. I needed to learn how to speak Mandarin Chinese. And I remember I had no musical training, and I was tonal deaf. I could not hear the tones. I did not understand whether it was first tone, second tone, third tone, fourth tone, whatever. I could not hear it. And when I started to speak Chinese, I'm honest with you, everybody started laughing. I'm sure it was funny. And I was so discouraged after being there a month, I was really ready to pack up my tongue and go home. It was a mess. And I found the verse there in Exodus chapter 4, where God spoke to Moses and said, "Who made your ears and your mouth?" And I said, Lord, if you called me here, you're going to have to help me hear these tones. And you're going to have to help my mouth to be able to speak this language. And so I want to show you how God took a mess and made it into a message. After 2.5, almost 3 years of study, get ready to graduate. You have to go through all the courses there at that language school. And then you have to give a graduation speech in Chinese before you can graduate. And by God's grace, I say this, by God's grace, I was able to graduate from this school. And before I graduated, the teachers asked me if I would participate in a speech contest for international students. It was a speech given in Chinese. And I said, I thought it would help me prepare for my graduation speech. So I said, okay. By God's grace, I got first place in that speech contest and got to give the speech on the radio. That's a message. God's grace. And then I was asked to go to another speech contest and got first place in that. The teachers told me later, you know, when you first started, we didn't think there was any hope for you. It was a mess. And God turned that mess into a message. And then I think of a test into a testimony. And real quickly, I just want to say, we went out to the village there, Liaobao. There was no church there. And started a church there in that village. And the landlord, he didn't want to rent the building to us. He said, you have to buy these two. We found two storefronts side by side. He didn't want to rent it to us. You have to buy it. We said we couldn't do that. So he finally agreed to rent one and we could buy one. So we got the financing. We got that taken. And the Lord opened that door for us. And then we thought maybe 4 or 5 years later, we might be able to get the second building. Well, 2 years later, the landlord said, well, I want to sell that now. If you don't buy it, I'm going to sell it to someone else. So we asked prayer from other churches. And that test turned into a testimony. By God's power, money came in that we could buy that second building. And we had a praise service for that. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. And a triumph. He turned that test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph. You know, trials come all the time. And we've experienced trials. Two grandchildren passed away. One was stillborn. One was drowned. My son died of a heart attack at the age of 26. These are trials. And I know each of us go through trials. And a friend of ours had a grief share group. We went to their grief share group to help us through this trial. And that brought comfort to our hearts. And the Lord led us later to start a grief share group to help others who are going through these type of trials, to turn a trial into a triumph. And then God can help us also, as we see here, a victim into a victory. You know, one of the greatest illustration of this is my cousin, my second cousin. She was on an ATV, you know, those little four-wheel vehicles, and it overturned, and she was in an accident, and it severed her spine, so she was crippled from her legs down as a young teenage girl. It was a tragic accident. And God turned that, instead of being a victim of that accident, she became the victory of that. Today she teaches in kindergarten. She's in a wheelchair. And she has, you see her face, the most beautiful smile. And during the summer she does summer camps with Johnny Erickson. Any of you ever heard of Johnny Erickson? She's at summer camps with Johnny Erickson as a counselor. God can do that. That's His power. You see, God wants to do that in our lives. He wants us to know His plan and His power. God wants to turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into victory. Let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know what you're going through right now. But I know this, that God's plan is the best that you can ever experience in your life. God loves you. As a loving Father, He has the best for you, whatever that might be. And I know this also, that God can turn the mess into a message. Maybe you've had a mess in your life, and God can turn that into a message. I know this, that God can turn a test into a testimony. You've gone through some difficult times, and God can turn that into a testimony to His glory. And God can turn a trial. You're going through some really tough times, a real trial. And God, by His power, can give you the triumph. And maybe you've been the victim of whatever. And God can turn that into victory by His power. Father, I pray for each one here. Oh, Lord, may the desire of our heart be to do Your will. Your plan is what's best for our lives. Lord, I thank You that when You show us Your plan, You also give us the power to do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I pray for each one here. Lord, I thank You that You can turn a mess into a message. I thank You, You can turn a test into a testimony. You can turn a trial into a triumph and a victim into a victory. Lord, do that in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.